Those of you who have not received the notes, please do so by this week, because all the questions that set in the test is all come from here. And don't worry too much about the scripture. There's only five questions on scriptures, only five scriptures. You'll be coming from the outstanding part and not all the little subsections. Tonight we are talking about parenting and child training, raising up children, training up children. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this time. Father, as I stand before you, I know there's a deep inadequacy inside me. I know I'm not perfect. I'm not a perfect mother. I'm not a perfect person. But yet, Father God, because of your grace and calling, I stand here. Therefore, Holy Spirit, take control of this place. Take over the teaching as I avail myself. Father God, I thank you for each one that is here. They are here because, Father, they want to know what your word says about family, about parenting and child training. Father God, I ask that you speak to me, that your needs will be met, their heart will be encouraged. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for spirit of encouragement right now, pour upon each heart of the parents. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just commit ourselves to you. Give us a receptive spirit, an open heart to learn from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. We know that we are talking about ministering to families, and the last and the only person is ourselves. If the whole wide world doesn't know, we should know that we are not perfect. That's why we need Jesus. And we are not perfect. Our family is not perfect. That's why we need God's grace. Tonight when we talk about being parents, training up our children, I'm sure most of us parents, we feel very guilty. We say, I'm not perfect. Well, you have come to the right place tonight. Because you are not perfect, I'm here to encourage you. Because I'm not perfect either. If I can encourage you tonight, I can encourage myself. Amen. I remember many times, after putting my two bundle of joy and bundle of work to sleep, I got two children. One is Christmas, one is Jedediah. God bless me with these two active and spiritual and wonderful children. It's by His grace. Many times after they sleep, I will throw my hand down and start crying. Kneel down and cry, because many times I feel I'm so tired. I'm so inadequate. Why I cry? I know God see my tears. He know I'm not perfect. There's nothing wrong to cry before Him. And I ask for grace. Many times the Spirit of God helped me to intercede and pray through so that I can face another day. Am I the lone ranger here tonight? How many of you parents have shed tears for your children, put up your hand? God bless you. The rest are perfect parents. You know that many of young people, they are watching we parents, family men and women. Sometimes they don't see good examples. Sometimes they see how we throw our frustration out. And especially you've got marriage problem and your children also suffer. And watching it out, because marriage is a calling. Some of us, God called us into single life. It's a gift. But all of us who are married here today, He knows when you go through it, He bless you with children. He bless you with His blessing. His very own life is creation. God's children entrusted into your hand. He says in Psalms 127 verse 3 and 4, this is my heritage from me to you. Your children are heritage from the Lord. When it is given to you, receive it with joy. It's a blessing. Many times we don't receive it with joy, especially we don't plan for it. But many times those children that you don't plan of it, they turn out to be big blessings. And I come across many couples that have shared that with me. And they are real blessings. Children are blessings from the Lord. Amen? I want to hear a loud amen from parents. You have to agree with me on this point or I cannot encourage you. Oh Lord, help me. I believe very strongly that children are precious. Do you know that when God chose us to be parents, God don't expect us to do a perfect job? Do you know that when God chose us to be minister of His gospel, how much blunder we make out of it? We make this mistake, preaching wrong teaching, stumble people. Do you think God enjoy you seeking you to be His partner in the gospel? Because of God's patience, God's appreciation of us, training us and building us up for the next life in heaven, He allowed us. Same thing with children. He allowed us to handle this precious little one, this life. He called it a heritage to you. We know that we can accumulate riches, we can accumulate a lot of things in this world. But those things, you cannot bring it to heaven. You may accumulate 10 diamond rings, but those diamond rings up in heaven is much more better than what you can accumulate in this world. It is life that you handle, that you brought the children, brought them up properly, make sure they are safe. It is this precious life that you brought to heaven that speaks that you love God and you please God for us parents. Amen? Last time I remember, I used to think that maybe I have the ministry, a calling, I serve the Lord good enough, I'm not quite ready for children. But the Lord had to change my heart. I used to say, after all, I minister in the children ministry, there are so many spiritual children, and I'm limited, I'm not superwoman, I'm not like Jesus, omnipresent, omnipotent. If I have to do God, the gospel and ministry, I don't want to have children or too many children. You know what God says? My will, not your will. Of course, God don't force us to have so many children until we are exhausted. I believe He gives us wisdom to plan for our family. Amen? And don't get me wrong tonight and go and tell everyone that Sister Amy said be fruitful and multiply. Maybe true, now the world already populated. But I believe that the overpopulation is not the problem. The problem is we ourselves. If we are ready, we can handle one football team. I think God is ready. God is not limited, because it is us who are limited. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. Let's read a verse of scripture. Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Here talk about the commandment that God gave to the children. Why God had to give commandment to the children? We know God gave commandments to husband, love your wife. Wife, submit to your husband. But God also gave commandment to children. The reason is, God knows that being a parent is a high calling. And He makes sure the children are obedient and respectful children. So that according to His law, the authority given in a family, so that it is easier for us parents. So if this is a commandment, this is a law, let parents examine and think about this scripture. Many times we thought, oh, it's so hard to raise obedient children. But then, if God commands us to obey and do something, God give us the grace and the wisdom.
The word of God is authority. The word of God that we read to the children, even no matter how small they are, when they are disobedient, when they are not respecting us, honor means respect. We just can read to them, the Bible says, you have to obey. You have to respect your father and mother. The Bible says, because you belong to God, you need to obey God. Remember one time I'm talking to my younger son, that time he's about 2+, and he always say, I belong to Papa, I belong to Mama. So one evening when I was sharing and talking with him, and I got the inspiration just to ask him, Daddy, you belong to Jesus, right? No, I belong to Papa, I belong to Mama. But I told him, yeah, you belong to Jesus, because Papa, Mama belong to Jesus. Okay, I belong to Jesus. I say, now Daddy, who you belong? I belong to Jesus. Amen. Because children belong to God, they are coming under God's law. Amen. The Ephesians 6:4 talking about training and admonition of the Lord, the way that we should bring up children is to train them up. Now, should any time we neglect about training up our children, should any time we rely on our own strength, on our own worldly way, we'll go for the negative. You'll raise up negative and rebellious children. The training of God is God says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Let's read. The training should be in the way of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Other versions of this verse it says that train up the child in the way of the Lord. He should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Here we're talking about training. We talk about young, when they are young. We know that it's so much easy to train a puppy when they are young, or a horse when they are young. Same thing applies to children. At the tender age, when they will, they can be easily bent towards good. When their heart is not hardened, it's still tender. Just like we said before, they are like red cement. Especially first 5 years, if we can influence and bend them to the way of the Lord, the battle is done. The foundation, the basic. You know, many times we neglect this. I still remember one time I went to Penang. I went back to see my mother. It just happened that I took my child for a horse ride by the seaside. And the horse rider taught my daughter how to ride a horse. And it reminds so much of cow training. You see, the word train comes from the Hebrew root word, Chanuk, C-H-A-N-U-K. This word is tied up to a root word. The root word is palate, P-A-L-A-T-E. That is the roof of the gun of the animal, the gun. And I see when they pull a horse, or when they train the horse from the beginning to tame a wild horse, they always pull the rope that is strapped in the mouth, this section. Whenever there is a pull, the horse is trained to be obedient, bring to subjection, discipline the horse to listen to the ways that the rider wants, whatever, which direction he wants to control the horse. So whenever there's a pull, there's a pain in the gun right up here, and the horse will just obey. So training up children, I believe that is a discipline. We know that God's word disciplines us, chastises us. It is not something physical, but it's a spiritual training, discipline us. like the Ten Commandments, the Word of God guide us, help us to be disciplined, to choose good. But in child training, there is one area when we touch about the word discipline. There's one little area is talking about physical discipline. Let's turn to that verse, Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far away. Now, that is when we're talking about training children, from a Christian point of view, I believe there are seven areas. One of the small areas is discipline through the rod. A rod is something that is long and thin. When it hits on the child's leg or the back part, it will produce pain. And just like a horse, you pull it, pull the rope, it produces pain, the horse learns to obedience. But don't go home train your children like training horse, okay? It's just an illustration. Now, six of the other areas are actually through the Word of God. It's all tied up with the Word of God. That's why the Lord says, train up the child in the way of the Lord. Because it all has to do with the Word of God. Let me share with you all the areas. For example, you modify the will of the child. How are you going to influence and change the child's will? It's through sharing the Word of God. And also another area, prayer. Another area, intercession. Prayer can influence your child. And counsel. What's the best counsel we can give to our children? Except it's from the Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Amen? The best advice we can give is from the Lord, through His Word. And admonition. Admonition means instruction to do right. I believe our Lord Jesus is the best source of wisdom. When He gives instruction, it's full of wisdom, righteousness, and it's always His way, His life. And the last one is to, oh, let me go through it all. Discipline, both physical and spiritual, discipline to the Word also. Modify the will, counsel to the Word and advice from the Word of God. Admonition, instruction, influence, intercession. Now let's go one by one. Let's go one by one. Let's talk about discipline. The Word of God disciplines us and helps us to be a good man. But let's dwell on the part about caning. When is the time that you should cane the child? Only when they are willful, disobedient, and they sin. For small children, I believe as long as they know how to answer back, they know how to willfully disobey you, and they know it, and you ask them, you know why you are doing it, as long as they know how to tell you, and as long as they know how to communicate with you, listen to your heart, talk to them, and the Holy Spirit will teach you when to use the rod. Many times when we talk about the rod of discipline, we parents tend to go extreme. Every time, just because we have run out of idea how to control them, train them, we always use the cane. You know, if a child is given too much beating and caning, you are not helping the child. You are breaking his will. You either break him and make the child felt so inferior, so weak, no will, or you make the child on the other way, opposite way. Strong will, stubborn, refuse to change. That's why I listen to my parents. After all, I listen, I also get the caning. So where is the balance? The balance is listen to your heart and talk to them. there are sometimes you have to listen to your heart. You can't even talk to them because sometimes the rod of discipline is to given because of foolishness. They cannot tell you the reason why they do it. For example, you have explained to them not to cross the road all by themselves, show them the danger, introduce them the traffic rule, and when you bring them cross the road, they still struggle out of your hand and cross, and the car nearly knocked the child. You think what should the parents do? I think a revision course will help the child, and plus the caning and the pain will remind him next time he don't do it again. This is a matter of life and death, and not playing the fool. We know that in Proverbs 22 verse 15, let's turn to it. It's all about the rod of discipline, get rid of foolishness. And how we know that there's foolishness? Some verses will help us to get to know whether a child doing this out of because he's curious, he's ignorant, or he's really foolish. Let's turn to Proverbs 17:28. You know, and we know, our children is not perfect. If there is any foolishness, we need to deal with this. 17:28. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace, and he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. You know that sometimes children can answer you back, and they won't hold and keep their lips shut. You know that answering back, no control of the mouth, is disrespect and also a sign of foolishness. And I believe no children can challenge the parents' authority and answering back. I believe this kind of habit should be dealt with when they are young, with proper guidance, explanation, and given time. You know, sometimes I don't cane my children immediately. For example, if I say, don't answer back, say sorry. If they don't do, I will put them up the stool. And maybe I tickle them until they say sorry. They enjoy saying sorry next time. Or I say, stand up there and close your eyes and say 5 times, I will not answer back. Jesus help me. And sometimes the way they do it, not yet finished, they try to open the eyes, I ask them to repeat again. And my small one enjoy doing that. Because if too much caning when they are small, it's not the best, because sometimes children need to remind. Sometimes your children forget to bring the bag to school. Because they are small, they need help. I don't know how about your children. My daughter sometimes forget to bring the school bag out from the car. And I want to do schoolwork. Where's my bag? They need help. I cannot scold her all the time. Okay, maybe I'll put her up in a high place. Maybe table, sometimes they enjoy it. And repeat after me. Say, I will be a responsible child. I am a responsible child. I am a responsible child. And then we end up with a big amen. Okay. Now, why do we need to cane the child? You know that foolishness can only come up when it is dealt with correctly. The Word of God says caning. But you know that in the world nowadays, the humanistic teaching, they say, don't cane. Give the child full freedom to explore. Don't suppress their freedom. No caning. This is actually contradict to the Word of God. If we encourage our children to be foolish, that means we encourage them to be disobedient, to be disrespect. We know that this is against the commandment of God if our children don't respect us. You know why God wants respectful and obedient children? Because He wants the children, the relationship start right when they are small. If they are obedient and respectful to the one in authority, they have no problem when they grow up. affecting in the workplace, in the society, and they have no problem at all to be obedient to God and respect God. Amen. Let's go to the area of Ephesians 6:4. Parents, don't provoke your children. Any wrong training, any negative way, especially in discipline time, to scolding, caning, making the child feel the pressure will come out in wrath, in anger, or some children, they hide it very well. They have just kept the resentment inside. And one fine day, when it blow up, you got a shock. Whatever put in sure come out one day. You reap what you sow. So sometimes our little child behaves like a tiger because there's a big tiger at home. But don't be discouraged. If we are tiger and tigress, there's hope. Sometimes lion, we roar. Sometimes when talking to our neighbors, if you're a very good mother, I say, oh, don't you hear me yesterday? What time I roar? We all laugh. Say, we understand each other. But we are not going to use that as excuse, especially pastor's wife. I must set a standard for myself. My husband used to tell me that. Thank you for a husband who is constantly checking me. And thank God there is a big God to check him. Amen? Amen. Let's refer to God's word about we don't want to provoke our children. So God has the answer. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3:15-17. It's all talking about training children. 2 Timothy 3:15-17. Now how Timothy was brought up by the grandmother and spiritual mother. In verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now you missed the 7 points just now. You can always use these few points. Let's look at verse 16. The word of God is profitable for doctrine. You know that we need to teach our young children from small, even though how young they are, about who is God. You know, the verse, by the way, Proverbs chapter 26 verse says that, train up the child in the way of the Lord while they are young. It means teaching them the word of God. Children are so sensitive, so receptive. Before their mind are polluted, fill them with God's word. That is the best way. Before the devil get them, we get them first. And actually this verse, if you check the original Greek meaning, train them while they are young. When they are old, they will not depart from it. When they are old, it's not actually when they got the chin here grow, long hair. That is not talking about that time. It's talking about when they reach the puberty, teenagers. It's such a blessing. God says that you train them up in the way of the Lord when they are young, even as small as their baby. God promised you that they will never gone astray. And when they reach the age before 20, they'll be all stable, all for Jesus. And if I don't make a mistake, if I remember correctly, all of us know that there is a famous, well-known author. He's a minister, well-known in U.S., minister to the family, James Dobson. He says that all parents that bring up the child in the way of the Lord, give them training, No matter when they reach teenager, no matter how bad they seem to behave, but before 20 years old, all turn back to the Lord. This is a great challenge. Start young. Before we go through all the heartaches, we better start young. Start the children young. Bring them to Sunday school. Bring them to baby class. Bring them to toddler class. You know, I started off teaching the baby class, the infant, the toddler class by faith. I have to convince myself that I can teach them. And I have to ask God's grace to come upon me to teach them week by week. And sometimes you see them so responsive, you just feel that you're so encouraged. You're just doing the right thing. Where maybe it seems no one else in the world seems to know. Never mind, that's another subject. Now, we're talking about teach the child the doctrine, and we have to reprove them, correct them, instruct them. You know that it's a promise that if we bring up our children in the way of the Lord, they will not depart. Not only that, the devil will not touch them. Through word and prayer, the devil will not touch the righteous one. Amen? You know that the devil tries so hard to make the righteous fall? The Lord raises the righteous up. Let's read Proverbs 24. Never mind, that's the wrong scripture. Oh Lord, help me. I'll give you later. Maybe you refer to the note, you will find it. Proverbs 24:15-16. That's right. Do not lie in wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not plunder his resting place. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. Praise the Lord. The Lord watches over his righteous one. Amen. And if we love God, we do our best to train our children in the way of the Lord. You know there is a secret hiding place in Psalm 91. They that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, the secret place is where the Lord protects you. Let's look about example. We talk about discipline. We talk about through the word of God, giving counsel, advice, admonition. Let's talk about discipline. Disciples then, example. Discipline as an example. Many times the children, how they behave, how they lead the life, how they grown up to be, is many times we put the teaching in and we train them, and the result of who they are is because we put in the training. And many times parents are examples before the children. As we say that we are not perfect, what happened if we fall? Just pick up ourselves and be childlike and say, sorry dear. You know that many of us adults, we are so outgrown, we suffer from a disease called adultitis. We are not childlike. And many times, we feel very hard even to learn to say sorry. I enjoy saying sorry to my children because it's the easiest way out. Instead of arguing with them, am I the only one? Oh Lord, help me. Let's look at James chapter 4. The verse talks about to be a good qualification, to be an example in a Christian life. I believe that to be a spiritual parent, you have to be a good Christian. What do you mean by a good Christian? A good Christian, verse 6, he gives more grace, therefore he says, God receives the proud but gives grace to the humble. A good Christian is a humble Christian. A good parent is a humble parent. Now, we talk about childlike. I still remember I had a hard time thinking about doing children ministry because I stumbled by the word childlike. I equate it with childish.
I still remember this incident very well. I met my seminary friends. We started out of the seminary. He met me a few years later. He asked, "What are you doing?" So I say, "Ministering to my own family and helping in the children's church Sunday school." And he said one statement. He made this statement. He affected me. But actually, he's making a positive statement. Maybe he stayed in a wrong attitude. That's why it affected me. Why can't all the seminary graduates, all the senior students do something great? For example, to be a great and mighty women preachers of the Word of God. Why must they always do end up in the children ministry? So discouraging, isn't it? There I'm giving my heart out to the children. There it said like that. Of course, what he meant that, how nice is God raised up mighty women of God, or mighty, or maybe raised up women of a mighty God, and by His grace and by His calling. Maybe that will help me to understand more. By the way, maybe he just talked to one last time. He just happened not to know it. How many of you catch the joke? Okay. Many times I feel I'm so childish. I don't want to be in the children ministry. Sometimes I used to pop my head out and see, any other ministry that I can do for you, Lord? The Lord says, stay put. Now, we minister to our own children, we parents. Sometimes we feel it's so hard because we are not childlike. We find ourselves, we are so outgrown. Our level is so high now. It's so hard to come down to their level. Therefore, we don't like the role of parents. We don't quite eager to learn about this calling. But let me share with you, to be a father and mother is a calling. And one of the qualifications is to be childlike. Many times you cannot beat them. They are so active. They are so creative because of their heritage. They are so intelligent. They are so active. They are so capable. They can outwin you. And they can answer you back in a better way, in a mean that they give you better answer or certain problem or certain question you ask them. You feel that, you just feel like throwing up your hands. But if you cannot join them, you cannot beat them, join them. Sorry, Lord, help me to sort it out. You cannot beat them, join them. If they are active, take it an opportunity to do your exercise. Play with them. I love to play with my children. Maybe I should read to you one of the letters. I picked it up just before I left in the taxi. You see, one of my daughter like to write notes to me every now and then, at least 1 week once. Okay, oh, you know where I stay, eh? Number 3, Jalan SS 24, Sub 24, Taman Mega. Dear Mom and Dad, to Daddy also, I'm so glad you are my parents. Most of all, I love it when you spend time with me. It is fantastic. I love it when you play with me. I'm glad God made me your child. Thank you for all the things you bought for me. With love, Christmin. If you cannot beat them, join them, play with them. They will appreciate it. You notice me, right? I enjoy it when you play with me. And many times we find it's so hard to discipline them. Use the positive way. Reward them. Okay? For example, it's so hard for me to train my daughter to practice piano. So I come up with a chart. Now, this is the chart. Every time you practice, you got a star. And you reach 30 stars. Every time you reach 30 stars, you got reward. And this method went still. And lately, we change it a bit. Okay, your exam is coming. If you get a good score, what do you like? She shocked me, you know what she say? I want an electric car. Okay. My husband and I have to come together. It's something expensive. Let's make her work for it. So make sure the charge was more square, took her longer to fill. And then we cut down other budgets, like buy less present, accumulate it for the electric car. And we brought her to the supermarket. This is your electric car. You practice it and got a good pass, you will have your electric car. Sometimes when she don't want to practice, I say, shall I cancel one star? No! You can never cancel. That is for my electric car. But let me encourage you. Child training is something interesting. When you train them, actually you are training yourself. Because it is a calling, it is a ministry. God is training you. We can give our children the word of God to always advise them, admonish them, play with them, be their good friend, and influence them to prayer, teach them to pray. But don't forget, the last and the most important thing is intercede for them. I believe there's a beautiful message when each mother, when they give forth a child, they travail to bring forth the child. You know the physical meaning pattern after the spiritual meaning. That is travail in prayer. I'm not talking about common prayer like going to bed, teach them to pray. My children, they already form a habit, they won't sleep without me praying with them. And one night I forget to pray with my daughter because I was so concentrated on the younger one because he's having a fever, and I've forgotten about her. Then she cried. See, why you cry? You didn't pray with me. Okay. I have to tell her next time, if you pray on your own, then the task, that section under prayer, you got extra star. Okay. So, the most important of all, we can give them the best. The word of God. Someone one night says that, give them the word of God. How can a man cleanse his way except by the word of God? The word of God influences the will to choose good. We help them to overcome the strong will, influence them to be tender-hearted and bend the will towards God. After whatever the best you have done, don't forget to pray for them. Intercede for them. Many times, especially when I feel downhearted and I travail and pray, it is through this travailing and prayer I find the peace and relief, and also get wisdom and inspiration how to deal with them more effectively. Shall we turn to the verse about Job? Job chapter 1. The passage talks about how Job rise up early and pray for the children. Verse 5. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offering according to the number of them. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. Here you see the discipline, how he rose up early, not for himself, but for the children, to give offering, to pray for the children. And we know that Job done his best as a father. I would say that he's a godly father. He's doing his best. But the devil tried to come against him through his ignorance. Let me explain. Let's look at Job chapter 1. It says at verse 1, it says that he's a man that fear God and shun evil, blameless and upright. That doesn't mean that Job is a perfect man, perfect parent. Now, because of imperfection, he's still learning. And let's look at verse 10. The devil came to God and says that, have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the works of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Know that the word H, God put a H around Job, and Job is a sincere and upright man. But how can the devil in the end took all his children away, even though he prayed and wake up early? It sounds discouraging, isn't it? But let me share with you, the curse shall come no cost. There must be a cost. And the only answers I can see here is a few here. We know that in Job chapter 2 verse 3, the Lord tells Satan that there is none like him on the earth, blameless and upright, one who fears God and shun evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, and although you incite me against him to destroy him without cause. Now, in the Old Testament, when God actively doing something, when God allowed the devil to actively doing something, actually it's a permissive plan. If God allowed it, and devil is the one that doing all the dirty works. God is a good God. He will never contradict his word. He says that I come and to bless you with good and abundant life. No way that it is God's act in this book that he is the one that take away Job's children. We know that being upright and sincere doesn't mean that we are perfect. And another thing is, we know that perfect family, perfect situation is husband and wife both are spiritual. If husband don't open the door for the devil, make sure the wife also know. But sadly, in Job chapter 2 verse 9, we know that Job don't have a spiritual wife. In fact, he told the husband to curse God. Let's read verse 9. Then his wife told him, "Do you still hold to your integrity? Curse God and die." And another reason I can find the answers to this dilemma is Job chapter 3 verse 25. Job has fear. He's not perfect. He says that in verse 25, "For the things I greatly feared has come upon me." We can exercise our faith, we can pray, doing our best we can. If we still got fear, we still have open door for the devil to attack us, because the devil operates by fear. God operates by faith. Amen? But because of sincerity of Job's heart, he's being the head of the family. God don't overlook the wife and spirituality. God overlook all the mistakes, whatever that Job has, fear. And in the last part of book of Job, Job chapter 42, Job says that, "Lord, forgive me of my lack of understanding, ignorance." You see, through ignorance, through lack of knowledge, things can just happen. If you have no knowledge how to drive a car, what happens if you try to drive one? Tragedy will visit you. We know that however, whatever mistake, whatever pain that Job went through, God restored him. He's a righteous man. God restored Job, restored him so well that we know that in the last, the ending of the book of Job, verse 12, "Now the Lord blessed the later days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and all the material blessings, and even the children, 13. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters, new children, and new beautiful daughter also." What the message is, any one of us says that we are sincere and we are doing our best, we are not perfect, don't be discouraged. Should you any time be like Job, get out of the situation. You have shed tears for your children. You want to get out of this? Look to Job. Job suffered even more, but God raised him up. And I believe very strongly that
In this last day, the fear of God is going to come upon strongly on parents. They shall never be discouraged, but they shall rise up in authority and power of the word of God, and they shall put the devil to flee. And the devil shall not touch the children anymore, because they belong to God. And because they belong to God, God will watch over the parents and the children. Amen? And I very strongly believe that should any one of us, we are called to be parents, be faithful to it. Be faithful to this ministry. Till your children grown up. Don't look unto any other ministry. All the other ministries are second. I always tell myself, and my husband used to tell me, your first calling is a mother. I say yes. I remember one time after the Singapore meeting, it was a glorious meeting. Someone said it's just like catching Kuman service. But praise God. But the main thing is, after the service, one sister approached me. She just asked me, "Don't you like to be used mightily by your husband up the stage? Don't you like that?" Rather, I think she should ask me, "Do you think God call you in that area?" No, I didn't answer immediately, but the Holy Spirit gave me the answer. The more he's outstanding up the pulpit, the more I'll be hiding behind him, because I'm his helpmate. I am there to give him the help and areas that he cannot do. For example, raising up children. And I believe and I'm convinced that I say the right thing. In fact, it took me a long time to think about teaching this session, because my children is so much in my heart, in my mind, and with my husband's busy schedule, I really stand here by God's grace. Even tonight, I tried to beg him to take over the session, and he said no. Oh Lord, I know that God has a hand upon my life, but I just want to be obedient. That's why I'm here. But more and most, I want to be obedient as a mother. You know that the Bible says that your children live alone will bring mother to shame. But that is a negative fear. I don't want to be with my children just because, I don't want them to shame me. I want to bring them up properly. But more and most, I want to be obedient to God. I want to be an obedient mother. I want to be an obedient parent. Praise God. Maybe we just pray. I want all the father and mother, you just make this prayer to the Lord. Father God, I have nothing to impart but your word and your burden and your calling. Father, increase it upon these parents. Pray together with me, all these parents. Dear Father God, I give to you my life. I belong to you. My children belong to you. I thank you. You raise up your children through me. Give me the spirit of encouragement, spirit of wisdom and revelation. Cause me to be faithful. Spirit of the living God, draw me to be faithful in this calling. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Many times we think of, after doing all our best, we still feel here and there, and we need God's grace. And truly we need God's grace. That's why God put us at this calling as a parent. You know, any ministry, any calling is by God's grace, not by our own ability. Even I used to tell all of those that come to the children ministry, we know that children are important. And in the book of Matthew chapter 18, it says that children are so important, the angels that looking after the children often see and appeared before the face of the Father. You know why? They are actively protecting the children. They are actively consulting the Father God how to go about the affairs of the children. And all of us that come into the children ministry, we believe that children are important. But all of us parents, you don't come into the children ministry. You are born into the children ministry. God gives birth this vision and this calling into your life. You don't choose it, but you need to appreciate it, because God bless you. Of course, we still can choose and plan not to have children. God won't force us. But when God bless us, God sees us, we are matured and we are responsible. We can handle this. Many times we think, well, we want the blessing, we don't want the responsibility. It can never be. What God looks for us in our life is our maturity of spiritual life. If we are matured spiritually, we can handle responsibility. Amen? When there is responsibility, there is appreciation of God's blessing. For example, if I invite you to my house, I let you freely enjoy all the facilities. Maybe put you in an aircon room, and you can enjoy yourself like king. The servants serve you and all this. But you know that you must learn to appreciate it. You don't tear my roof off. You must learn to appreciate. You must help to take care of my belongings, so that next time you are welcome. When you are well behaved, maybe There's a time that God will promote you to stay with King of England. Our maturity and appreciation grow as we grow in the Lord. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew 18. Here talking about how children is important, and verse 6, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he will drown in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come. Verse 8 and 9 and 10. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Verse 10. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven the angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Okay, the part that we read is talking about how children are important, how we should relate to them and not to stumble them in the way that it should be. But in this passage, I would like to draw our attention to the most important thing I feel when the Spirit of God laid in my heart is childlike. We have talked earlier about to be childlike. We know that children are so simple. They are so simple that it's so important to notice this, that I have to set the standard that only those children minister who is able in the word can teach the children. The rest, as they learn, they come and help, they grow, they can fit into it. Because any time we give wrong teaching to the children, it's very hard to undone. And the reason I read this scripture deep in my heart is, I want to share with you that parents, should you call into any other area of ministry, especially a full-time ministry, don't neglect your children. Look at example in Matthew 18, how Jesus stressed the importance of children. Remember that Jesus put the children on his lap and stopped the disciples from hindering them to come to him. He said, let the little children come unto me. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven.
And my son loved this song. This is the first song he learned.
Now, many times we thought we have our ministry, we have our calling, we are businessmen, that is our ministry. They're so important, this meeting, that meeting. But I tell you, Jesus is also have ministry. Ministry, a big meeting, preaching to a big crowd and big group. But he still pays it to children ministry. The fact that he reached out to children, put them on his lap, he reached to their level. He speaks of there is importance in the children ministry. Jesus has multiple ministries. Let us not parents say, oh, that's my ministry, and neglect. Jesus is our example. We can have multiple ministries. Sometimes we start off in a ministry, we may help in a ministry of help, we may be in a ministry of in the worship, but we grow until that the demand is so great on our life that we begin to let go certain area that the Lord asks us to forego. And the Lord will draw us into the final according to the different phrase, different timing, different appointment in our life, our walk with God. I believe as parents, we have multiple ministries. Unless when the children grow big, we enter into a different time where we can concentrate more. I never believe an evangelist should neglect the children and the children education and concentrate on the evangelistic work. I believe if an evangelist wants to have a family, children, he should hold back and stop traveling too often. Children come first. I believe if he faithfully doing that, the Lord will bless his evangelistic ministry in the worldwide according to his grace and calling. Amen. Same parents. Don't be afraid. Jesus has multiple ministries. So are we. Jesus is a busy man. So are we. Many times, we know a lot about children ministry. We've been in children ministry. We our own self raise up our own children. We thought we know about a lot. But let's look at the life of Job. He don't know much, but he's doing his best. He wake up early. The important point I want to bring to you and share with you is sometimes it's not how much we know, how much knowledge we accumulate. Sometimes it's how well-disciplined, self-disciplined you are. In order to fulfill our ministry, especially we have multiple ministries and so much area to take care, we need to develop a self-disciplined life. It is not lack of knowledge sometimes, but the problem is we parents, modern parents, we are lack of self-discipline in training up children. We are not following up close enough. We are not giving our effort good enough. We need to encourage ourselves and pat ourselves tonight that we are doing a good job, but that's not the best. We can improve. Amen? Amen. Talking about calling as parents, many times we know that we are inadequate. We cry to God. But sometimes that it's not so much how much we can cry also. You know, sometimes disobedient children cause the parents so much tears until the parents have no more tears. And they just don't know what to do. When should any one of us that reach this stage, we should never be discouraged. You know that children are entrusted to us. They are God's heritage also. They are not only our heritage. All that we have belong to God. Should we any time that we feel we are inadequate, release them back to God. They belong to God. Intercede for them. I believe sometimes we have to cry and intercede so much until we have no more tears. The peace of God will come into our heart and mind. God take over. When God take over, when God straighten our children up, God do it perfectly. God will deal with the root. Many times, but not all the time, that disobedient children is always because when young, lack of training. For example, we know that in the book of 1 Samuel, how Samuel
failed to train up his children. His son committed adultery. His son is so big enough to commit adultery. And yet, what should Samuel do? We know that Samuel is a spiritual priest. I believe that if we release our children to God, we have to be balanced. We need to play our part in certain area. Let's say, if Samuel were to take authority and rule over his child, maybe not through caning, it's too big to cane, I believe he should apply the Old Testament law. Put the children to death. You know, the sin for committing adultery is death. It sounds harsh. If a priest's son commit adultery, it was taken properly and it was dealt with properly, like in 1 Corinthians verse 5, it talks about should put a man that commit adultery with the father's wife out of the church so that his soul will be saved. If this action was taken by Samuel and rule his house and take authority to show that he is still in control, the son either need to repent or choose the penalty, the punishment, the disciplinary action. This will show the whole example to whole Israel that we should fear God. We should not honor our children more than God. And the sins in Israel will be stopped and the whole country will be sanctified. I believe so. And I believe very strongly that because Samuel didn't do his part, you know, sometimes we parents fail to do our part. If our children keep throwing stone over the neighbor's dog and causing all the irritation and misunderstanding and quarrel, every time they do it, we just come out like cuckoo clock and scold them, keep scolding them and don't take any action, even though after told and explained, they still do it willful disobedient. I think that child needs a good spanking. And a big one, if they commit sins like maybe steal the neighbor's chicken and ask you to cook curry but don't get involved, send them to the policeman if they don't want to repent. This will help to clean up the child better. You know, true love discipline, although it's painful, I don't know about you, mother. I don't know about you, father. When every time I cane my child, I have to control my tears. Eli should discipline his children. You know why God had to take the life of Eli and his children away? Because Eli didn't do anything. God cannot use us unless we are obedient. Let's pray. Father God, I just praise you and thank you for your word. Father, it's not me, it's you. Father God, therefore let your Spirit of God continue to do the conviction and bring forth more understanding and teaching in this area. Father, bless every heart that's open unto you. Father, bless every parent who are sitting here. Father, I call forth your ministering spirits and angels. Surround them and their children. Father, by your grace, send your ministering spirits and angels. Surround the children. Cause the children to turn to you. And Father, encourage this heart. Should any time they cry out to you, Father, hold them. Hold them in your arms. Father God, I just thank you for every one of them here. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone say amen. Let's give Jesus a clap. Well, Amos, you got anything to announce? So go home and study your 4 sheets of paper. The tests are very simple. Next week I have 45 minutes. I'll pray that the Lord will do something good out of these 45 minutes, not so much of revision. And also, while those who are coming all the way, you come for tests, don't just come for the test. While those are doing the test,
I suggested to Brother Amos that we put on a video. It's called David Walter Ministry Kids in Combat. This is the man that we are going to invite into our church to hold a children conference and youth conference. He's a man that used mightily in England and in US. His ministry is to teach the children how to minister to parents. When he teach among a big group, he always ministers to the children and the parents together. After his ministry, he will put the children right in the front and let the children minister under anointing, under the gift of the Spirit. So those of you who are not taking tests, please come and be blessed by this videotape. It's just a short 20-minute tape. Amen. God bless you.